Hello and welcome to KVRU 105.7's The Forecast, Seattle's weekly women's sports show. I'm your host, Maggie Mertens. The Forecast is a new show here on KVRU where we're taking traditional sports radio and turning it on its head. That means we're here to cover the women's sports scene in Seattle. We love you, Mariners, Seahawks, Sounders, and Kraken, but honestly, you get enough coverage. So listen to this show for all your news about local teams named after the weather, hence our name, The Forecast, and all of the other incredible women athletes with ties to the Seattle area. I'm Maggie Mertens. I'm an independent journalist who's been covering women's sports, gender, and culture for more than a decade. The other half of this show is Jeff Shaw, a cinematographer and photographer here in Seattle who cares deeply about telling otherwise untold stories. Together, we can't wait to not only update you with the Seattle women's sports news of the week, but also dive deeper into why women's sports matters, who's watching, who's playing, and what it all means. On this week's show, we've got the recap, scores and highlights from last week's games, hot takes. I will definitely be talking about that phone call from the president to the U.S. men's hockey team. A sports chat about why we started this show, and then we'll dive deep into the first half of the Torrent season. We'll be chatting with Torrent reporter Heather Munka and Torrent season ticket holders Henry Elliott and M. Richardson. Let's get started. For the recap this week, I just really want to talk about how sad I am that the Winter Olympics is over. I have so many highlights from this particular Winter Olympics. It's just been such a hard time to be a person in the world lately, and this Winter Olympics brought me so much joy and serotonin, and mostly because the women just dominated in general, and not even just at their sports, mentally and culturally. They showed up, they showed us what it looks like to be a good teammate, to be supportive, to speak up for things that they believe in or things that they need. Just the fact that the U.S. figure skating team is now made up of these young women who are friends and support each other after growing up with, you know, like extreme rivalries in that sport that were pretty toxic. I'm just so proud of the way that they showed up. Alyssa Liu's gold medal skate, of course, was just incredible to watch. And she's just the picture of, you know, what it means to do a sport for the joy of it and to be doing it for all the right reasons, to have, you know, wrestled with the demons and said, you know, I'm not going to do it the wrong way anymore. I want to do it my way. And I just absolutely cried tears of joy when the women's hockey team won their gold medal. I've been talking, you know, for the past couple of weeks about how incredible this team has been to watch. Just so dominant, such a force. And then everybody kind of thought they were going to cruise through that gold medal match, and instead it was really tough. So to see them win, especially with that tie goal from Hillary Knight of our Seattle Torrent. You had her also proposing to her girlfriend, speed skater Brittany Bowe, the day before. And I just loved that we were at this point where that was celebrated. That was on TV. That was on NBC. You know, and they were celebrated for being their full selves and also being champions. Women's hockey was just a highlight for me. And that includes, of course, Torrent players Hillary Knight, Hannah Bilka, Kayla Barnes, and Alex Carpenter. We also saw Torrent forward Julia Gosling take home that silver medal for Team Canada. And I just really felt like watching this team be so dominant this year and put up such a fight against Canada, who they've lost to before four times in the gold medal match, including in 2022. Just means so much about the growth of women's hockey, especially here in the United States, the depth that we saw. And I just really can't wait to see what this means for the PWHL coming back after the Olympic break.
Do you think that you ever had in your imagination that someone like Alyssa Liu would win with such joy? And then the reaction was surprising to me. About one, how many people were so upset that she was so joyful, but two, it felt like watching that she like took the cap off the ability to say some things. Like some of the commentators even were saying, like, it's so refreshing to see this level of joy back, yes, in the sport. I just never could have imagined that being the case.
No, I think that was part of what was so emotional watching it was I don't think I could remember a time watching a figure skater at, you know, that level of competition skating so like freely, and you can see it, right? Like you could see it in the way that she moved, and you have this memory of like, oh yeah, every other skater that I watch is tight. Like you can see they're like, okay, I'm going into this jump and I am like, better make it, you know, and you can see their bodies like tense up a little bit, and she just did not have that. And to see that, to see also that she's just like a normal sized person, like she's, and she has like fully rejected, you know, these ideals of, you know, having her hair a certain way or wearing a certain costume and, you know, being a certain size, I think is just like so incredible. And spoke so much to just like the power of sport when we do it the right way. And when we give athletes agency over it, right? She said, she's given interviews now about, you know, 4 years ago in Beijing that like she was told what music to use and what costumes to wear and how to wear her hair and all of those things. And, you know, clearly she is just like not listening to other people, not letting them make these huge decisions for her anymore.
We even see it with commentators. I feel like weren't allowed to be themselves while they were skating all the way. And so hearing their joy of someone being able to reflect who they really are, and now these commentators able to be who they are and embrace that. I feel like, you know, that comment we had with Frankie about looking forward to this different level of people, the athletes being able to be themselves, was a real thing. I also think, I don't know if you saw Alana Myers-Taylor win gold.
This was also one of my highlights.
Yeah. I'd be curious to hear your take on, you know, watching her win gold finally.
Yeah. I have long been an Alana Myers-Taylor fan. I interviewed her years ago about, she was the head of the women, she was like the athlete head of the Women's Sports Foundation for a while. And I interviewed her actually about like when the IOC came out with their like big equality initiative push to you know, finally expand all of these sports so that there might be 50-50 gender representation at, you know, future Olympics. And, you know, some of it did have to do with, you know, this idea that they everybody kind of thought, oh, okay, well, we'll finally get a 4-man bobsled for women. Instead, they gave them monobob. And, you know, I know Alana had her own feelings about that at the time, but, you know, she's just so open and so gracious. And then to be such an advocate for getting other women into the sport, and especially other women of color, you know, she has really been a boon for that, for all of the sledding sports, getting like, you know, she was a college softball player, right? Like she got into this because she was athletic. She wanted something else to do. And there's so many like great fits for that in terms of the sledding sport. So she's done so much for it. And yeah, to see like a 41-year-old mom of two kids who like do have special needs, and that she has been 100% like, what I love about her is she is so open about it and so like fiercely defensive of like her decisions to like, yeah, I'm going to like be a full-time mom, bring them around along with me and be this full-time bobsledder. Yeah, I think it's just she's just such a wonderful person. And it was, I mean, it's just those moments where you're like, I don't know. We're just, it's an expansion of women's sports for sure, right? To see a 41-year-old woman in general winning a gold medal in something like this, but also like who has like extreme caretaking responsibilities and who has given up so much of her life, right, to this sport that is not something that is, yeah, raking in the money or very well known. So I just think it's a really amazing sign of progress too.
Totally. And then I think, you know, moving on, we saw some major progress out of Corinne Stoddard, and the relief she showed, right?
Yes, I was so happy for Corinne to see, you know, she's one of our local Olympians. She grew up here in the Seattle area and trained at the Tacoma Speed Skating School. You know, we talked about last week, she was pretty bummed after her first two events went badly. You know, she crashed and she had been kind of medal favorites in all of these three events. And to come back in the 1500 and get over that mental block and get a medal, get third place. I mean, that was incredibly wonderful. It was great to see, you know, a young athlete really get over that. And, you know, I hope that she learns from it. And I hope that it like is more meaningful to her, right? To know how hard it is. And that also like people will love her no matter what.
Totally. Totally. And I think the joy from other Olympians and athletes who have experienced joy, I hope that's contagious so that they mm-hmm. kind of have set the precedent. Like you can take time away from the sport. You can do whatever. She can come back if she wants to continue to do this, but no, like she's been successful, you know, because success for Anna Gibson, who we spoke with last mm-hmm. week, is very different. The amount of joy and smiles just for being there yes. was incredible.
Yes. And this is something that Anna Gibson is just like so good at in general. If you don't follow her, you should. She's just a really inspirational person, I think. Again, as an athlete who is doing things her own way, you know, she's this University of Washington former track star. She's, you know, built a life as a professional athlete, not in track, right? As a trail runner and now a winter Olympian in ski mountaineering. And she and her partner, Cam Smith, gave an absolutely thrilling performance in the mixed relay this weekend. They came in just off the podium in fourth place. And they were so thrilled. Like, no one expected them to place this high. And they were so good. It was incredible. Their second lap was, like, I think, like, the fastest. I don't know that for sure. The French team was, like, way out ahead. But they were so good. And they were, you know, falling back and then catching up. And it was insane to watch. And I'm, like, I'm so proud. I'm so proud of them. And Anna, yeah, her posts after are like, I'm the happiest fourth place winner at the Olympics ever, you know? And before that, she had also competed in the women's sprint and got ninth and was so thrilled to be, you know, a top 10 in the world in that. And I think that's just such a healthy attitude to go into anything with, but particularly, you know, something as high pressure as the Olympics.
I don't even know if she had raced a sprint race. She might have. I think the team relay was only her third, maybe fourth schemo race ever.
Yeah.
But for her to even come in ninth, I was a little disappointed. The sprint is so fast. The course was so short, but it's, you know, it's straight uphill and straight downhill, but you know, thinking about her skill set, that is not necessarily her skill set. Her skill set is distance. I kind of thought it was like the 400. The sprint was kind of like the 400 instead of the 1600, you know?
And like if there had been two laps in the sprint, right, it would have been, I think, a different show entirely.
Totally. And so then to see them, for her to get ninth in that, I felt like was kind of ridiculous, amazing. And then to watch, I think so many people are captivated by schemo. I heard people around town talking about it. I introduced people because we had, you know, interviewed Anna, but like heard people talking about it. That feels like a very Seattle Pacific Northwest type of sport. A lot of backcountry skiers here. And they were glued to this fact that the format was really interesting. It still was really fast. But it showed off all these levels of endurance, you know, the pain cave, this idea that like suffering for fun. And it's not, and I think Nordic skiing does that in general, but like it was a very different style. There are a lot more elements to it. But then her joy was like, I can't imagine how many more people will go try ski mountaineering. I had a friend text me and said, how do you even sign up for this? And I was like, there's camps. There's stuff, you know, they were advertising. They did a really good job advertising those, but I just think there's going to be a lot of people saying like, I want to do that. Like that is, you know, and they may have never even heard of it before. So, that joy really is contagious, on so many levels. What about Unrivaled?
Unrivaled also was happening this weekend, which was, you know, just another thing to try to stream. But I was super pumped. We saw another dunk from Dominique Malonga. That's her second there in Unrivaled. She's playing for the Breeze and threw down her second slam dunk in a 77-65 win over the Vinyl, which also secured them a playoff spot.
Dunked it and kind of acted like no big deal. Like, didn't even act like
it. You know, she's going to make this a norm. I can't wait. I cannot wait. I mean, you know, hopefully someday to have the Storm back. But we do have Unrivaled playoffs starting this Saturday, February 28th already. Six teams have currently clinched those playoff spots. The Phantom have the number one seed. Then we have the Laces, the Mist, the Breeze, and the Rose. One more team out of the eight will also join them. Those top two will get a bye straight to the semifinals. The other four will go to a single elimination game to try to get to Brooklyn, which is where those semifinals will be held on March 2nd, which is pretty exciting. I'm excited to see, you know, the excitement level there and the number of tickets they're going to be able to sell, which I am imagining is going to be a lot. And then that final championship game will be back in Miami on March 4th. And so we'll be chatting more about that next week. The WNBA CBA continues to be discussed and, you know, hurry up and wait. The most recent proposal from the league supposedly guaranteed housing for in 2026 before starting to be phased out, which is bringing the sides kind of closer together, according to reporting by ESPN. But the issue of revenue sharing is still the big discrepancy.
Did you see today the WNBA made enough money to trigger the revenue sharing clause in the old CBA? So yes. Players are supposed to split, I believe, $8 million. I mean, we're still waiting for information, but in the details.
Yeah.
But like, for all those people who have said the WNBA is not profitable, the old CBA was very restrictive. So I just wonder what that argument is now moving forward.
I mean, the players have so much power right now, and they're really wielding it. I'll be interested to see. We're going to hopefully chat more about this next week. But yeah, and then over on the PWHL side, the Torrent will be back home Friday, February 27th at 7 p.m. You can go see those gold medal winners in person. Now for Maggie's hot take. I am very hot this week about a video that you all probably have seen. The men's USA hockey team also beat Canada, also in overtime, also won the gold medal. And while the women's win was one of my absolute Olympic highlights, the men's win just absolutely proves why it's impossible to be a men's sports fan sometimes, especially when you're trying to be a feminist. Videos have leaked since the win of the team celebrating their win the way that many men often do, chugging beer in the locker room, running around to Toby Keith, blasting from speakers. But there was one part of this that is just totally weird, and that is that Kash Patel, the head of the FBI, was also there, not just to, you know, offer a handshake of congratulations from, you know, the federal government. He was there partying with them. He's shown in these videos chugging beer, spraying beer at other players, getting a gold medal on him. I just want to point out, like, this is not normal. This is the director of the FBI, like J. Edgar Hoover, partying and getting drunk in a way that is obviously going to be public. Who's representing an agency where, like, decorum and also maintaining your faculties at all times is considered very, very important. Not to mention there were actual national security issues happening at the time. You know, there was an intruder supposedly at Mar-a-Lago who was shot and killed. There was a drug cartel leader who was killed in Mexico that set off a lot of security chaos. And this man, Kash Patel, went to Italy on the taxpayer's dime for federal government business and was partying with this men's hockey team. I mean, that is just kind of gross and sketchy at best. But the cherry on top is that, you know, Trump called while Patel was in the locker room to talk to the team, congratulate them. And what he did was invite them to his State of the Union address happening this week. This team is hooting and hollering about getting invited to the party at the White House and eating up this praise. And that says one thing, you know, these athletes are not the type of athletes speaking out about this administration right now. But the part that was really bad is that Trump says, I must tell you, we're going to have to bring the women's team too. You do know that. I do believe I'd probably be impeached if I didn't. And everyone in that room laughed. And there was like one chant. I will give like one of them the benefit of the doubt who yelled out like two for two. Like he didn't quite get what was happening. He was kind of like, yeah, they won too. But the rest of them were just laughing at the idea. And, you know, I think some people are saying, like, laughing at the idea that they would even be invited. I think there's also an element there of course, the women won't want to go. Maybe that the men wouldn't respect them to be there. We're not totally sure, but it's just gross. Like, it's locker room talk at its base level. Their win just doesn't seem to matter in this space. And while the NHL is historically, like, the most conservative sports league in our country in terms of fans and players, this is still just pretty galling behavior, especially when there was a concerted effort on, you know, the part of many media outlets to kind of paint the men's hockey team as part of this feel-good Olympic like journey moment where we had so much, you know, kind of progressive action and, you know, camaraderie and all of that. But they just really ended up proving that nationalism for the sake of nationalism and partying with an increasingly fascist administration is not really what most Americans want, and not why we watch the Olympics. You know, there was even an interview where clips were going around from an interview with Jack Hughes, who scored that game-winning goal, saying that the first person he thought of was Megyn Keller when he scored his goal, who scored the winning goal for the women. But the way that he phrased it was, oddly enough, Megyn Keller, which to me is like kind of a weird slight. Why would that be odd that you were thinking of the person that just did it a few days before? And, you know, there's just a lot of media coverage that tries to sort of like turn everything into a feel-good women's sports story. And I think a lot of it is not. There was then also a piece in The New Yorker this week that was trying to claim that, you know, the men's win showed that national pride isn't always a bad thing and that maybe this is the moment that we'll get to band together and bring the country together because this is their first gold medal, you know, since the 80s. And I just think this is absurd when the women's team just won a gold medal in a really dominant fashion. You know, it had 7.7 million viewers on TV at the time. Like, I don't know. You also can watch them without throwing your ideals under the bus. And obviously, no sport is perfect. But I will say that the whole invitation that was laughed off to the White House and the State of the Union address was very politely declined by the women's team pretty much immediately. So whether or not, you know, this was a political situation or whether, you know, just having that video go out and seeing the reaction that was quite swift, you know, the U.S. women's hockey team wasn't having it and wasn't having any connection with this administration. So my hot take is really that this administration does not care about women's sports, does not care about protecting women's sports as it has claimed to do, while essentially dismantling Title IX protections and attempting to ban trans women and girls from participation in sports. I do not think that they would be laughing at the idea of honoring the women's hockey team if they actually cared. And with that, we're going to take a little break here. Stay tuned. We're going to be speaking with some Torrent season ticket holders when we get back. Welcome back, and thanks for joining us here on The Forecast, Seattle's weekly women's sports show on KVRU 105.7 FM. Right now, we're diving into the first half of the Seattle Torrent season. We're going to be speaking with Torrent season ticket holders Henry Elliott and M. Richardson. Henry and M, thank you so much for joining us here on The Forecast.
Thank you so much for having us.
So, this is the inaugural season for the Torrent. This is the first time we've ever had a professional women's hockey team here in Seattle. What made you guys want to jump in as season ticket holders right from the jump?
So when I was growing up in Northern Virginia, I was a huge Washington Capitals fan. Delighted to watch them win the Stanley Cup, really enjoyed, you know, seeing them play. But when I was in college, there was a rumors of a new women's hockey league called the NWHL, which some of you may have heard of. That had a very short lifespan. Most of the teams were concentrated on the East Coast. There was a similar league in Canada. It kind of crumbled. And after having watched some Seattle Reign games with Henry and, you know, being a woman, I was really excited when the Torrent came to Seattle and had been following other PWHL games, which are free on YouTube, the previous season. So it seemed like a no-brainer to us.
I came in having no hockey experience, but a lot of sports experience. So it was a fantastic bonding moment to get to have just hockey in the house and give like M this golden opportunity to really introduce me to what you've loved for so long.
I got to get you back for all the times you've talked to me about soccer.
I love that. How long have you two been together?
We're coming up on 3 years now.
Oh, amazing. Congratulations. I think sports can be such a wonderful, like, bonding opportunity for couples, for people who we love, right? Especially when there's kind of an opportunity to teach someone something, right? Or bring someone into something that you love. So, Em, you were the hockey fan. Henry, what kind of thoughts did you have maybe going into, you know, your first hockey game? Like, what were you expecting?
As a Canadian, it's always been in the periphery where I've understood, like, the basics. I've known how it works and, you know, vaguely positions. The number one thing I had to learn quickly was how to figure out where the puck was.
That's so hard.
It's very hard, but once you get to figure out how the players are moving and you can just read them instead of actually trying to find the little black dot. It was also like figuring out things like tactics and with like line changes and things, etc. And also just figuring out like what is the strategies, the strategies that a team can put out there.
And Em, what were your expectations going in, you know, being a hockey fan, having watched some of these other women's leagues sort of struggle to take off, you know, how was coming into Climate Pledge Arena for the Torrent, you know, what was that like for you? Were you surprised? Were you like, did this meet your expectations?
I have to say that I was completely blown away. The NWHL that I saw, and God bless them, they were doing this on a shoestring budget, was really, you know, one camera angle, one commentator, maybe a couple hundred to 1,000 people at each game. When we went to the Takeover Tour game that was hosted in Seattle last season, I think it stayed as the highest attended in the United States for a hot minute. Mm. And when we showed up for the inaugural home game earlier this season, I think that we blew that record out of the water. I think there were more people at the Torrent game. Something that has been so amazing as a Seattle transplant is realizing how much of a dark horse sports town this is. People show up for these events and with much more fervor than I've ever seen anybody show up for women's sports before. So it's really the most wonderful kind of culture shock.
Yeah.
I was thrilled.
That's amazing. And were there players that you were, you know, interested in from before or excited to see on the team?
Oh, yeah. I am always excited to see Hillary Knight play. She's one of the best to ever do it. But I have really fallen in love with so much of the roster. You know, Carpenter, Bilka, everybody has just been so cool. And our goalie trio is so fun. I'm sure you know. I'm a CJ stan. I think we all are, but
absolutely,
we got to get them some ice time.
Absolutely.
One of these days. One of these days.
Henry, who have you fallen for? Who are your faves?
So coming into it, I knew like the big names that we were like, I wouldn't say supposed to root for, but like were the very easy coming on points. Like Hillary Knight, Alex Carpenter, Kayla Barnes, even Bugs, Jenna Buglioni was our first draft pick. So let's be very big for her. And I remember hunting through and I was like, okay, let's figure out who becomes the first like natural hero of this team. Let's see who gains the fan base instead of like is sold to the fan base. And so when against the New York Sirens, we started chanting Murphy for our rookie goalkeeper. I knew that that was like immediately, that is our first like hero of Seattle in this team.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I love that. And I mean, we've spoken with some other folks too about just how incredible kind of the camaraderie can feel there in the stands, you know, starting these chants, singing the songs, all of those things. Were you guys like all in on that? Did it take you some time to like figure it out? How have you found just the other season ticket holders and kind of the vibe?
So we are two people who absolutely commit to the bit. If you tell me that we're doing the wave, we're doing the wave. I don't care if it's tacky. We're out there doing it. But it's great that we are in good company on that front when we're at these games. People really seem to be bought in, and I think that's really great. It seems very authentic here, and I'm really pleased with that.
How about you, Henry?
There was a moment in the Minnesota Frost home opener when we conceded our first goal, and the audience was just as loud as the moments before, because that was the time, now more than ever, that we needed to prove that we loved this team, even when they're losing at the home, even when they are in the biggest audience and like can't get a shot in. That is when we need to prove that we love them through and through. We need to show that we are fans of them no matter how they're performing, because they are Seattle. They are the torrent. They are Seattle's torrent.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I've been to a game and I totally felt that like genuine feeling from the crowd, right? Of, you know, we don't care if it's silly or tacky. We're going to like continue to sing the song after they turn it off. And we're going to, you know, cheer when the team feels like it needs it. I think that's just something really amazing. And also, that can kind of be related to that cozy feeling of that a lot of people feel from women's sports, right? That it's a little bit softer in that way, that like, you know, you can feel a little bit more yourself while you're there. Is that something that you guys have experienced? I know you're big Sounders fans too and Seahawks fans. What's the difference maker there for you guys in terms of being able to be at this women's sporting event?
So I identify as queer and have for many years. And one of the things that draws the wider LGBT plus community to women's sports, I think, is that it is a more open and affirming community than the men's side of professional sports often is. No shade to anybody, but I definitely feel very welcome and very well received at every women's sporting event that I go to, because I feel like I'm among friends. Mm-hmm. There's no expectation, as not just a queer person, but as a woman, there's no subtle expectation to like prove yourself as someone who really knows ball. Mm-hmm. There's no, people drink less. This is random, but people drink less and are less rambunctious, yeah, which makes it more family friendly. Yeah. And that makes for a more fun, forward environment.
Yes, I think 100%. I think so many people identify that way. How about for you, Henry, as somebody who's just like, go sports, I love it. Do you sense a difference, you know, at something like the Torrent game?
I think the difference that I see there is, like, in the crowds, you see a lot more young fans, like adolescents, because this team has an audience that feels more like hopeful for the future rather than like focused on the present. Mm. It's a lot of inspiration just being a team and being here. And I've never had a problem talking with anyone like in the fan base, because it feels like as long as you're like warm and friendly and you like the team, everyone is very accepting of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes men seems, it can feel a little that like need to prove yourself, right? To be accepted as a real fan. How about, you know, you guys mentioned going to rain games, being soccer fans. How does this compare to that experience in terms of just what it's like, but also maybe, you know, the excitement level around it?
I have an answer for this right off the bat. Soccer is like church. Hockey is like a party. I say that soccer is like church because everybody's got, we've got our chants, we've got our songs, we've got our dances, we do our hold up our scarves, we do our things at certain times in the match. It's very ritualistic. And I, as a lapsed Catholic, love that. I think that's great. It's so fun. I also love going to a party where everybody is singing along to Blink 182 after the music turns off and screaming about CJ, will you come to my cottage this summer? Or some other ridiculous, silly sign that someone's made during intermission. It's two sides of the same coin. It's people who show up and love the thing that they love and love it very openly and loudly. And it's great to get to participate in both sides of that. I played sports as a kid, and I never would have imagined. Like, I grew up when it was so funny to make jokes about how the WNBA will never make any money. Mm-hmm. And, haha, let's focus on fundamentals. I never imagined that we were going to get here. This is really amazing.
Yeah. How about looking forward to the rest of the season? You know, we've just had this amazing Olympic break, which I'm sure you guys were watching hockey over the last few weeks. But to see, you know, everyone come back together, and looking forward to ending, you know, the rest, maybe the majority of the season, but the rest of the season after that beginning, you know, of a brand new team. What are you guys looking forward to in terms of, you know, what you hope to see on the ice for the Torrent?
I am a huge fan of player development. I love when we can generate a team from the ground up. So I am very excited to see where our rookies are going to go. Players like Bugs and Delianidis and Wagner, seeing if they can like continue to grow, especially under the wings of such strong role models like Knight and Carpenter.
I am excited to see how the results of the Olympics affect attendance and performance. That kind of standout, even, you know, the U.S. won gold, but Canada won silver and Switzerland won bronze. And we have players on all of those teams. Yes. How is that confidence boost, that championship mindset, going to come back into our little arena and shake things up? I'm excited to find out how that goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, more ice time for CJ, please. Please, God, please, come on.
You are definitely not alone in that desire. I think that we need to make that happen. That needs to be the next season ticket holder chance. So traditionally, you know, there is often kind of a bump in attendance post-Olympics for leagues, you know, here stateside. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how that plays out for the Torrent. For anybody out there, you know, in Seattle who maybe hasn't been to a Torrent game yet, but enjoyed watching the women play during the Olympics, maybe they're Storm fans or Rain fans, but they just don't consider themselves hockey fans. You know, what would you tell them just to convince them that they should give it a shot?
Well, it's free on YouTube and it's cheaper than a Kraken game.
If you're not
bought in on the players, on the game, on anything, it's at the very least, it's a nice thing to do. It's a fun place to hang out. And it won't break the bank like going to an NHL game will.
Absolutely.
It deserves to, but I think it's better hockey than what you're going to see from the Kraken, personally. But I'm also a Capitals fan, so I'm a little biased. But I really think that people should come out, keep these numbers up, keep them increasing even.
At the end of the day, it's loud, it's proud, it's a party, and it's your team.
Yeah.
They're not going anywhere, so come check it out.
If we want to see things like this happen, if we want to see leagues like the PWHL be successful, we have to stick with it through good and bad. That's what it means to like live your values. And if your values include gender equity in sports, then yeah, if you can afford it, show up.
I will say one more thing. It's not like we're here because we believe in women's sports and need to show up and represent. We're here because we like it and it's good sports to watch.
Yeah, we're here because we like hockey. And this is the hockey that is not $200.
But even if it was, this is the hockey that we like watching.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's the most important.
We love hearing from fans like Henry and Em. If you have thoughts you want to share on the torrent, we'd love to hear them. You can reach us at theforecast@kvru.org or over on Instagram at Seattle Women's Sports. To continue this deep dive into the first half of the torrent season, we were also able to catch up with local journalist Heather Munka. Heather covers the PWHL's Seattle Torrent for the Hockey News, and she works on the Seattle hockey podcast, Beneath the Waves. Heather, thank you so much for being here with us today.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to get to talk to you today.
Yes. So I'm wondering how you got into covering hockey. What is it about hockey for you that really drew you in?
This is going to be a wild story, but I actually grew up in New Mexico, and there's no professional sports there. They are starting an ECHL team next season, so we're getting there, but there's no professional sports. So it's hard to find a sport to get behind. It's mostly local, you know, universities, things like that, that you'll get excited about. And, you know, most people are Broncos fans or Cowboys fans. So I actually had not really watched hockey until the Kraken came to Seattle. And we moved here for work. My husband's a software engineer, so that totally fits, I'm sure, with the Seattle narrative. But also, I love coffee, so it fits perfectly for us. But when the Kraken came, actually, I had two just really devastating losses in my life back to back, and I needed something to just take my mind off of it and obsess over. And, you know, I can go deep down in the rabbit hole and learn everything and get excited and just obsess. And that's exactly what I did with the NHL and with the Kraken. Just became a really big fan. And from there, you know, we started doing some live streams around the games and some podcasts. But my true passion was when we started working on the PWHL coming here. Mm-hmm. And I was part of Women's Pro Hockey Seattle, still am, but they were really the grassroots to bring the PWHL here. Just a shout out to Zoe Harris, she is the head. She is everything. She is amazing. And she really was a hockey player herself and in the area. And just, I mean, she led this whole movement really to get the PWHL here. So I have been on board from this jump, just with getting them here. And, you know, from there, I was like, how do I get into covering this team? Because this is the passion. This is what I want. You know, women's sports, it's such an amazing legacy here in the Seattle area. And to be sort of on the ground floor of the new team, it feels really amazing. So I feel really lucky that I get that opportunity to do that. But I mean, in a long story short, or long story long, maybe, that's pretty much how I got into it. So I'm actually I guess relatively new hockey fan, but you know, you fall in love with the sport, and there's nothing like hockey live. It's an incredible, fast-paced, exciting environment, and I think anyone that's been to any hockey game understands that and knows that. So it's easy to fall in love with that sport.
And I think probably starting, you know, as a Kraken fan was really helpful, because that culture was so intense and so amazing from the very beginning. And I've been really pleasantly surprised to see that a lot of that is carrying over to the Torrent. For someone who's maybe not familiar with the Torrent yet or hasn't been to a game, can you describe kind of what is that experience like being, you know, at the arena for a Seattle Torrent game?
So glad you asked that because it's one of my favorite things to attend. It is a welcoming environment. It is a diverse environment. It is just an inclusive environment and a community feel. And what's really great about it is that there are so many fans in the stands that understand the game. They're very knowledgeable, which is very fun because then you have this shared experience of that was a bad call, that was a call that wasn't made, or just understanding like how amazing a shot was, or you know how amazing a save was. And even from the jump, getting goalie name chants from the crowd speaks volumes, I think. But it is high energy, it is loud, it is so fun. And it's not unheard of to have somebody run down the aisle and give everyone a high five after a goal. And it just feels like a home place where you can really feel like you fit in. And I, you know, no diss to the Kraken or the NHL, but it is a different feel for sure. And one where I personally, both as a woman and in a mixed race relationship, feel much more comfortable. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, again, the Kraken fans are amazing. They're fantastic fans, but the Torrent fans just have a different, more welcoming feel to them.
Yeah, right. I talk a lot about, you know, this like special feeling of community at women's sports games, right? And there is this, you know, you're coming in sort of not the traditional sports fan, and you get like a whole stadium full of that. And yeah, it's always just really wonderful to be able to like share knowledge in a space that's welcoming, right? Yeah. That you're not going to feel sort of out of place.
And that's what I love too, is people learning the game too. Like I said, there's a lot of knowledge there, yeah, but also people that have never been to a game also feel the comfortable, you know, ability to ask the questions, you know, what happened there? What happened here? And why did that get called? Why was that not a goal? You know, why are they chanting the name? I don't know. And I think there's something that's really safe in that space to be able to do that, because that's the point of sports, right? Let's get more people on board. And especially in women's sports, you know, people coming from the NHL will notice that there's some different rules in the PWHL, which are really cool. So I'm enjoying, you know, experiencing that along with other people too, where they're seeing, you know, something called a jailbreak goal, where if, you know, a team is shorthanded and they score a goal, then their person gets out of the penalty box. That's something that's so new. So watching that and seeing the NHL fans being like, wait, what just happened? I love those experiences too, because they're actually really appreciating the fact that there's differences here, and sometimes maybe for the better too. So I really love the fact that it feels like that safe space to enjoy and learn and kind of like grow this game all together too.
Yeah, we've heard actually from several fans at this point who, you know, might be season ticket holders who just bought, you know, into this brand new franchise because they want to be on the ground floor, but they maybe didn't know anything about hockey before. And so I guess I'm wondering too, what are your hopes in terms of what this franchise can do in its first season? Like, what can the Torrent do to build and maintain some of this momentum, but also, you know, become one of the really strong teams here in Seattle?
Yeah, I think they have a fantastic foundation already. And I will say, you know, even during the holidays, the attendance numbers were still up. And I think there's something really special about that too. It didn't really lag. And I think that's pretty amazing. I think, you know, for me personally, win or lose, people are behind this team, and I want that to continue. Even, you know, going into the Olympic break, there was still big cheers as the team, you know, left the ice. And I think that's really beautiful. But I also think, you know, I think we have to set expectations around potentially the outcome of the season, right? The PWHL is also unique in that, you know, there's 3 points on the line every night. And that means that things can change really quickly, which is also very fun. But that means even though the Torrent are currently sitting in last, they can really easily rise too. So I think there's expectations to just sort of you know, we kind of have to level them a little bit that, hey, you know, we are sitting in last place. There's a lot of talent on the team, but with a lot of talent comes a lot of different personalities and a lot of different ways to gel the team together. And it's not easy, right? It's not an easy thing to bring, you know, players like Hillary Knight and Kayla Barnes and Hannah Bilka and all of those amazing Olympians we just saw, bring them all together in a team and say, okay, now you're going to play all together. That's also really tough. So I think people thought it was easy. It was going to be easy. And I think there's something to be said about, hey, this team is brand new. These players, while some have played together, a lot of them have not. And so I think as far as, you know, the standings go, I think just being competitive, which they are every night, they never give up. I think that's, you know, something that I'm hoping for that will continue. I'd love for them to rise a little more. I'd love for them to hit the playoffs. You know, I would love that part of it too. But if not, I think it'll be a successful season because people are showing up night after night.
Yeah, amazing. Is there anything that you think is particular to like the Seattle area that has really, I mean, I've been really surprised by like the high attendance numbers from the very beginning, right? Yeah. What do you think is going on there in terms of why Seattle has embraced the Torrents so well and so rapidly?
Yeah. I mean, the whole state's a hockey state, you know. I mean, hockey has been here for so long. In fact, women's hockey actually was here at the turn of the 1900s, if I'm remembering correctly. There was a team, you know, quite a long time ago. And so I think, you know, the desire for it, you know, UW has a fantastic women's hockey team as well. And, you know, now, even if we look at 2 years ago when the PWHL came into existence, you know, that meant that younger girls, especially, you know, boys and girls, but especially girls, I'm going to say here, started to play hockey because they now saw that as an option for them. When before, playing professionally was just not necessarily an option. There was not a league for them to play in. You know, the hope was, you know, go to college and play, but then what? Mm-hmm. Go to the Olympics, you know, play in the rivalry series. All of that's fantastic. But having that home of like a PWHL team really speaks volumes. So I think there's that, you know, women's hockey is exploding, you know, at the lower levels because of that. You know, people are starting to get their kids involved and say, hey, look, they're on the ice. They're right in front of you. Those are those are people you can look to now. And even having, you know, coaches like Jessica Campbell, that also starts to, you know, show different sides of sports in general that now, okay, women can, they always have been capable, but here we're seeing the examples of women being able to, you know, break that door down and get in. So I think there's a lot of that. I think the city was just so ready for this team. I think that's a lot of it. I think with the success of teams like the Rain and the Storm, I think that also, you know, speaks volumes. People wanted to see, you know, the next part of this. And I think that's a lot of it too. But I think, you know, I just think the existence of the PWHL meant that we're starting now at kid level where they can see it for themselves now. And I think that's huge. I think the Kraken coming helped that as well, you know, because now it's right in your backyard. You know, Coach O'Rourke said, once in your backyard, then it starts to explode. And I think that's really what we're seeing too.
That's incredible. Well, Heather, is there anything else you wanted to mention just about hockey in Seattle or the Torrent or Team USA?
I think just get to a game. Just go and cheer them on. I mean, they're just such a fun group. And I think what's unique about the PWHL and the Torrent too is that you really get to see more of their personalities, both on the ice and off the ice, in interviews. And I think there's something really special just about getting to experience that part too. They're very willing to say hi, like give a wave, and they're going to wave back. And I think it's really fun to be on the, you know, just be at the start of this.
Heather, what's the best way for people to be able to follow your work or catch up with you?
I write for the Hockey News, so you can find me on thehockeynews.com, and it's the Women's Roundtable in particular because we cover women's hockey. That's all women's hockey there, which is fun. It's from, you know, really the collegiate level up. So I'm very proud to be a part of that. You can find me there. I'm also, you know, on Instagram at Heather Coy Moonka. You can find me there. On X, I actually do a lot of my sports things there. You know, it's an interesting platform, but sports still reigns supreme there. So I am at Heather Nicole without an E at the end there, if you'd like to find me. That is where I do a lot of sports, and on Blue Sky as well, and Heather Coy Moonka there as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on the Forecast, Heather.
Thank you for having me.
That was Heather Koimunka, who covers the PWHL's Seattle Torrent for the Hockey News and Beneath the Waves. Thanks so much for being here, Heather. This week, we'll have our eye on the return of the PWHL. The Seattle Torrent will be back on home ice Friday, February 27th at 7 p.m. We'll be welcoming back our gold medalists, including Captain Hillary Knight. And we'll be tuning in to the beginning of the Unrivaled Playoff Series, which kicks off Saturday, February 28th. That's our show for this week. Next week, we'll be chatting the WNBA, CBA, and the future of the Seattle Storm with Jeff Brown from Storm Chasers. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Forecast, Seattle's weekly women's sports show on KVRU 105.7 FM. Our show airs on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. and Wednesdays at 9 a.m. I'm Maggie Mertens, your host. We're produced by Jeff Scott Shaw. Thanks to Crystal Fincher, Shannon Chang, and the rest of the staff at KVRU for broadcasting our show. We want to hear from you as we get the Forecast off the ground. Reach out with story ideas, comments, questions, or hot takes of your own at theforecast@kvru.org or on Instagram at Seattle Women's Sports. For more information on how to support KVRU, head over to kvru.org. We'll be back next week.